Well, it's a real joy to be back with you here in Lisburn. I think a few years ago I did Children's Day as well. Someone said to me this morning, the last time I saw you, you had hair. So I don't think it was that long ago, I tell you the truth. But that's another story. It's lovely to be along, and it's lovely to have the opportunity and to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ. He can change your life if you're in this meeting tonight. Without him, you're running after the world and you're running after sin. Well, we want to tell you tonight of one who can change your whole life and who can save your soul. And we trust today that the Lord will speak to your heart even tonight. Now, before we look at our time, I want to turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22. We'll just have a wee word of prayer when you turn to it. I'm going to give you my text, just not now, but in a few moments. And you'll see the reason why in a moment. So let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity of coming together. Lord, tonight we thank you for the ministry of the young people and for their testimony of the saving grace of Christ in our life. We pray now that will pour out your Spirit upon us and we'll know liberty. Where the Spirit of God is, there's liberty. We pray you open up hearts tonight for those, Lord, who are without Christ, and that will bring them to our Savior. Bless our time together, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. No doubt, as I look down on the young people here tonight, it's examination time. In your school, in your college, or in your university. I read an article the other day, there's a great rise of stress among young people and children because of examinations. Well, if you feel stressful, don't worry, because it's the same with everybody. Everyone's the same. I read an article and it says 10 surprising ways to beat exam stress. So you want to note these down? Well, I just name a couple of them. There's 10. Listen to classical music. I don't know where I would like that, but that's just one of them. Take a quick walk. Another one says you were to play with bubble wrap or puppies. Well, I don't know. Sometimes the dog will hide when we're doing examinations. It's not right. So what that does, I don't know. They said you should eat dark chocolate. That's another one they give us. Then there was one that says, let it all out. Well, that will suit me, wouldn't it? Yeah, just go to the window and open it up and you let a gulder out of you. And you just shout, and the neighborhood will wonder what's going on in that house. And then, of course, break free from distractions. Examination time is part of life, of course, young people. It's to show your improvement, and it leads you to the next step for your future. Well, believe it tonight in this meeting, we're going to have another examination. Boys, I hear everybody groaning, even Mr. Martin behind me. But here's the rules. Everybody in this meeting is going to do it. That's young and old alike, everyone. But here's the good news about my examination tonight for the congregation. There's only one question. Well, that's a good one, isn't it? It's just a one question. Some examinations, you have a multiplication of choices. 3 out of 5 or 4 out of 5. Well, that's not the case tonight. You have just a one question. Just one choice. Another rule is this. I want you to answer the question before you leave the meeting. So you're not going to take it home and think about it for a while and they say, well, Noel, the next time I speak to you, I'll give you my answer. No, that's not the case. I want you to answer this question tonight in this meeting. And another rule is this, and I'm watching my watch. You have about 25 to 30 minutes to answer it. That's all it is. Now, who would like to go to school tomorrow and say, well, one question and 35, 25 or 30 minutes to do the answer? And here's another thing about my examination. You don't have to write a word. Throw the pen away. It's not great. That was true a lot of us fellas when we went to school. It's not right. You don't have to write one word. And another rule is this. You're not allowed a copy. There you are. So I'm watching this man behind me. All right. I don't want you to give the answer of the person sitting beside you. And I don't want you tonight to give your mother's answer or your father's answer or to have a look around you and say, well, what are you going to put down for this answer? I don't want that. I want your answer. I want your answer tonight. So what's the question? Are we all ready for the examination time here tonight in the house of God? The clock's starting. We're going to look at our paper. We're going to look at the question. It's found in Matthew 22 and the verse 42. What think ye of Christ? That's the question. This is a question I bring to the house of God tonight. And this is a question I bring to everyone in this meeting. What think ye of Christ? And when you look at this passage, you'll find the Lord Jesus Christ has come to Jerusalem. He's arrived in Jerusalem. And as he arrives in Jerusalem, there's great opposition rises against him. And it tells us in verse 15 that the enemies went out and they said, we will entangle him in his talk. We'll go out and we'll trip him up. And here's what we're going to do. We'll go and ask him questions. We'll go and ask him questions. And so they came to Christ and they asked questions. The Herodians and the Pharisees, they asked a question. The relation of the church to the government. Should they give tribute to Caesar or not? The Sadducees, they came and they asked a question about the resurrection. Now these men were being hypocrites. They didn't even believe in the resurrection, yet they came, they asked a question about the resurrection. Then the scribe came and he asked one about the law. But all of these men came in order to catch the Lord Jesus Christ out. They came to entangle him in his talk. And yet we find the Lord Jesus Christ, he looks at them. And he asks them one question. Just one. What think ye of Christ? And that's our questions, I said to us tonight. I'm not asking you what do you think of the preacher. I'm not asking you tonight what do you think of our church. I'm not asking the young people tonight, do you read your Bible? I trust you do. I'm not asking you tonight, do you say your prayers? Are you trying to live a good life? This is not the question. The question to everyone in this house tonight is this question. Simple and to the point. What think ye of Christ? This is the question. So what do you think of him? I want you, in the closing moments of this meeting, to think of Christ. And no one else. What do you think of the person of Jesus Christ? This is a very plain and simple question. Dealing with Christ and with Christ only. That's what the Lord Jesus said to these men. What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? And if you notice, immediately these Jewish people said, well, he's a son of David. They had learned this in their catechism. They'd learned this. Whose son is he? He's a son of David. Of course, the Lord Jesus Christ went on to these men. But how can this be? How can he be the son of David when David in spirit called him Lord? How can this be? So what do you think of Christ, the person of Jesus Christ? Because if we look in the Bible tells us he's the son of man and he's the son of God. This is his humanity and his deity together. Yet one person. And I ask you tonight, young person, an older person in this meeting, What do you think of the God-man, Jesus Christ? What do you think of this one who left heaven and came into this world? He's the Son of God. He is the Son of Man. This is the question of all questions. What do you think of Christ? That's it. That's the question tonight. The Jehovah's Witnesses go around our homes and they try to tell us that Jesus Christ is just a Son of God or a God. A boy came to my door one day and I said to him, can I ask you a question? I said, could you finish the following verse for me? And so he looked at me. He's a big army man who had left the army, now Jehovah's Witness. And I said, it says in the Bible that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is. I says, is who? And he wouldn't answer me. And so I quoted this again to him. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is who? And he wouldn't answer it. But I answered for him. Jesus Christ is Lord. He's Lord. That's what I think of him. Jesus Christ is Lord. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who he is. So I want to, in a sense, lift up Christ to the congregation tonight and ask you, what do you think of him? What do you think of this wonderful person, Jesus Christ? And what do you think of the performances of Christ? Because we come to the Bible, in Matthew 11 verse 2, it says, now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ. And notice that little phrase, the works of Christ. John had been locked up for no fault of his own. He was taking a stand for the truth. He was proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. He found himself in trouble. He found himself here cast into prison. And yet now it tells us here that the disciples were sent to them. And it says here in the verse 5, in that particular reference, that he was told, the blind receive their sight and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up and the poor have the gospel preached to them. So they told John this. And here we find the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. John, he's doing great things. He's healing the blind. He's healing the lepers. He's raising the dead. He's doing great things. Jesus Christ is powerful. Jesus Christ is doing great things. He's helping those in time of their need. He's displaying his love and his mercy. So what do you think of his works? What do you think of the works of the Lord Jesus Christ? When we come to the Bible, we find him going about doing great miracles. No matter what came before him, the sick, the deaf, the blind, it didn't really matter. The Lord Jesus had the answer. One word, one touch, and their lives were transformed, and their lives were changed. Oh, Peter said of the Lord Jesus Christ, in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. What a wonderful summary of the life of the Lord Jesus. He went about doing good. I asked you tonight, in our examination, what do you think of this? What do you think of this man, Christ Jesus? He's going about and he's doing good. He's healing the sick. He's helping the poor. He's displaying love to those he comes in contact with. You see, what think ye of Christ? What do you think of the performances or the works of Jesus Christ? Well, we had to say they're wonderful. We had to say they are great. They are miraculous when we think of the person and the work of Jesus Christ. What do you think of the passion of Christ? In Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, Paul writing there to the church of Rome, here's the words he said to them in the verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, and notice this phrase, Christ died for us. This is the one we're considering tonight. Christ. Now what did he do? Here is the Apostle Paul writing to this church at Rome, and he tells them very boldly and very plainly here that Christ, he died for us. That we have seen that he is God, he came into this world. We have seen his mighty power in works. We see he has loved and cared for many people. But here we find him at the cross. This is Christ, the Son of God. He's come down into this world and he went to the cross. And Apostle Paul tells us here that Christ died. He died for us. You may be said tonight, well, in this examination, well, why did he die for us? He died for our sins. He took our place. He took our punishment. And the Lord Jesus, in love and mercy, and the Bible tells us that he suffered, and he suffered greatly for our sins. He made an atonement for our sin. And when he hung and died upon the cross, we see him, and he shed his blood. And he suffered in great pain and agony. The Bible said it pleased the Lord to bruise him. I ask you tonight, what do you think of Christ? What do you think of him? Who would love us and go to the cross and bleed and die for us. What do you think of him? Does Calvary mean anything to you, young person in this meeting or others in this meeting? I'm asking you, what does Christ mean to you? What do you think of this? This is the message of the Bible. This is the message of the gospel, that Christ Jesus came into this world. And he bled and died upon the cross for our sins. What do you think of this? That's the question. That's the question we're looking at tonight in examination. What do you think of the power of Christ? It says in John 4, verse 42, that the people there from Samaria said wonderful words of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed, here's what they said of him, the Christ, the Savior of the world. He's the Savior of the world. And these people come out and they looked at the Lord Jesus Christ and they said, listen, we know who you are. You are the Savior of the world. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, he has power to save. He has power to save our soul. He has power to take away all our sins. And nobody else has that power. Nobody else can save my soul. No one else can take me to heaven. None but Jesus only. So what do you think of Christ? That's a particular and plain question. What do you think of him as the Savior of the world? What do you think of him? Just in this meeting, we're coming to a close very shortly. What do you think of this wonderful person we've been thinking about? He has power to save. He can save you. He can save you in this meeting. Maybe it's a young girl, a young man who's wandered into the world in sin. The devil has lied. He has told you there's no hope. You're too far in the world. And you're too far in sin. But I want to tell you tonight, Christ can save you. And his blood can cleanse you from all your sin. What do you think of this? Do you think the Lord Jesus can save you? Or do you think he can't? You see, he has power to save. I believe he has. That's why I'm standing before you here tonight in this meeting. Because one day he saved me. And that's why there's many in this meeting tonight who God's people, who's washed in the blood of Jesus Christ and been saved by his grace and his mighty power. He has power to save unto the uttermost. He can change your life tonight. There's maybe young people here tonight that are dabbling in the world and they're dabbling in sin. And you're on the broad road that leads down towards hell. Listen, Christ can save you tonight. And I hope he does, or it's too late. So what think ye of Christ? It's a plain and particular question. And this question also is a penetrating question. But notice the words, what think ye with Christ? It's not what you say about Christ. For man may say all the right things about the Lord Jesus Christ, but this question is not addressing the lips of man. It's addressing your heart. Sometimes we go into examination and the question goes to the head or over the head. But not this question. Not this one. This is to your heart. To your heart. We're talking tonight to your heart. What think ye of Christ? In Proverbs 23 and verse 7 it says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. What a man or a woman is in their heart, that's what they really are, you see. And the Lord Jesus wants to know, what do you think of him? And we're addressing not your mind tonight. We're addressing not your head tonight. We're addressing your heart. Your heart. A personal question to your heart. What do you think of Christ? Do you think lovely of him? You know, Song of Solomon 5 verse 8. She says, I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved. Did you tell him that I am sick of love? She was lovesick. Lovesick for Christ. Her heart was crying out for her beloved. And I ask you tonight, do you think lovely of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you say, yes, I love him. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. Thou hast died for my sins. Thou hast saved my soul. Thou hast given me everlasting life. I think lovely of him. Tell me, do you think in your heart constantly of him? Is he always in your mind? In Psalm 139 and verse 18, the psalmist says, if I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. So early in the morning, who was he thinking about? He was thinking of Christ. You know what the psalmist said in Psalm 4 and verse 8? I will lay me down in peace and sleep. For thy Lord only maketh me dwell in safety. So at the end of the night, he's lying down after a day's work, whatever the case may be. Who's he thinking about? He's thinking about Christ. First thing in the morning, he's thinking of the Lord Jesus. No doubt during the day as well. And the last moments of night, he's still thinking of Christ. His heart is drawn out after the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus, his Lord and his Savior. He loves him. He's thinking about him. Do you think joyfully of him? The psalmist said in Psalm 104, verse 34, my meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Filling his heart with joy as he thought of his Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a penetrating question. It's addressing your heart. And maybe there are some people tonight in this meeting and you never think of Christ at all. It says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 19, who mind earthly things, all you live for is the world. The pleasures of the world. The sins of the world. The wickedness of the world. The ambitions of the world. But you never think of Christ. It's examination time tonight. To your heart in this meeting. The Lord Jesus is asking the question. What do you think of me? What do you think of me? Young person in this meeting tonight, who probably went astray into the world and turned your back on this blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus. Living for the world. Living for pleasure. And not for Christ. What do you think of him? That's the question. Can I say lastly, very quickly, it's a prominent question. It's a question of all questions. I'm sure sometimes in your examination, some very important questions. Well, here's a very, very important question. as we have seen, is about one who's God and Lord and King and Savior. But it's important for this reason. Because the way you answer this question will depend where you'll be in eternity. In your examinations in college or university or the tech or a school, it'll depend your next step in your education, in your workplace, or for the future. But here's a very, very prominent and an important question. Because your whole eternity depends on the answer. You think of the sinner's stand there in Romans chapter 14, verse 10, for we should all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. I want you to picture that scene. We're all going to stand before Christ someday. So will you in this meeting. Everyone will. On that day, the question will be, what will he think of me? What does the Lord Jesus think of me? Oh, tonight here is a simple question in our examination. What do you think of Christ? But on that particular day, you'll be asking the question, unsaved person in this meeting, what does he think of me? One day you'll stand before him. It's a very prominent question then. The sinner's stand and the sinner's soul. Because if you think nothing of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I had to be faithful to God's word, you'll be lost for all eternity. For all eternity. Lost in the flames of hell forever. Because the salvation of your soul depends on your relationship with Jesus Christ. Salvation is of the Lord. And if a person chooses the world and chooses sin and turns their back on Jesus Christ and says, Lord, I don't want you in my life. I don't want you in my heart. I want the world. I want sin. Remember this, you pay the price. A lost sinner's hell will be before anyone who turn away from Christ. You cannot get into heaven if you have no Savior. You cannot have eternal life if you've rejected him in this world and in your life. So we find here is a very, very prominent question. What think ye of Christ? And how you answer that question will depend where you be in eternity. And that's how serious it is tonight. An examination is coming to an end. So what's your answer? What's your answer? I don't want you to shout it out. I don't want you to write it out. But what's the answer in your heart right now in this meeting? And remember this, God is looking at the answer. I'm not going to ask you tonight to show me your answer. But the Lord is. He's looking to see your answer tonight in this examination. To see whether you have passed or failed. What do you think of him? I no doubt tonight in this meeting there are those who say, yes, he's my Lord. He's my God. He's my Savior. He's my friend. He has saved me. He has given me everlasting life. He's my everything. No doubt our people tonight would say these words. The Song of Solomon said in Psalm 5, verse 16, he's altogether lovely. He's altogether lovely. No doubt these answers have come from some people's heart tonight. But maybe there's someone in this meeting, your answer is, I don't think anything of him. And I don't want him as my Savior. I want the world. I want sin. That's a terrible answer. That's terrible. We want you to turn tonight with all your heart and come to Jesus Christ. I say, Lord, forgive me my sin and wash me in your blood and give me everlasting life. And I tell you on the authority of the Bible tonight, he will save you. He will save you tonight. Maybe you've lived a long time, you thought nothing of Christ. I trust the Lord will give you a change of heart. You'll turn tonight. Repent and believe the gospel. And his blood will wash you whiter than the snow. And he will give you everlasting life. Come and trust him. The examination is over. How did you answer? What did you answer? I hope you've got the right answer. And if you haven't, I trust at the end of this meeting, you'll make it right. You'll make it right even where you sit in the meeting tonight. You'll make it right now. With all your heart, turn to him. And he will save you and give you everlasting life. If I can help any of you, do speak with us. Mr. Martin here as well. We trust the Lord will touch your heart tonight with his word. Thank you very much. Thank you.